This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Noel in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we'll be discussing discussing vaccine registration deadlines with Azrul Kaleb, the CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy. We're asking you on Twitter, should there be a deadline for vaccine registration? 30% say yes, 60% say no, 5% unsure, and 5% say it doesn't matter. Let us know what you think over on Twitter. Right now, we're taking a look at Royal Commissions of Inquiries. And this was, I think, on the back of an expose made by Inspector General of Police Tan Sri Abdul Hamid Bado, who regarding an alleged cartel within the Royal Malaysia Police and an internal group of junior officers out to topple him. This has led to numerous calls to set up a Royal Commission of Inquiry, more commonly noted as RCI, to look into the issue. And opposition leaders like DAP Secretary General Lim Guan Eng and the Malaysian Bar have similarly backed the call to set up an RCI.
Yes, I think an RCI can be set up for, you know, very important things, including this matter. But I think the point here, this is not the first time that officials and civil organisations have called for a Royal Commission of Inquiry into a very specific situation. Previously, there were calls for an RCI, for example, into a 23-year-old multi-billion ringgit Bank Negara Forex scandal and other controversial national matters such as on the mass graves of migrants and 1MDB as well. So what is the RCI and what does the law say and what powers does it have?
Fascinating discussion, which we're now going to have with lawyer Dato' Malik Imtiaz, who's with us on the line. Good morning, Dato'. Thanks for your time this morning. What are the prerequisites for establishing an RCI? What does the law tell us?
The applicable law is the Commissions of Inquiry Act 1950. The Act says that the Yang Liputan Agong can issue a commission where it appears expedient to do so. So there's no conditions or restrictions of any form, essentially where it's thought to be necessary and appropriate. Of course, the Agong acts on the advice of the Cabinet when making such decisions. So ultimately, it'll come back to whether there is reason and basis for the government to give that advice.
Who can convene an RCI then? And does that current emergency declaration have any bearing on that?
Okay, so the emergency doesn't have a bearing in my view because the ordinance doesn't restrict the calling of such inquiries. As to who convenes the commission, it's as I said, it's the Agong. Who will appoint the chairman as well as the members and then also set out the terms of reference. But the sticky point would be that the Agong would take advice from the government as to whether there's a need to or not. So there is a grey area as to whether the Agong can do so in the exercise of prerogatives, but this does not appear to be the case. So it would seem to me that the Agong would have to act on advice. So if there was no advice, the Agong could not independently set up the commission.
Now, assuming that once the Agong has been advised and decides to call for an RCI in a specific manner, how then are the members of inquiry appointed and whom do they report to?
Sure. So essentially, the procedure is quite straightforward. Once a decision is made to establish a commission, it would be the Agong who appoints the members of the commission and in particular the chair. So as a matter of practicality, all of this would also be given as part of the advice to the Agong, as well as the scope of the inquiry or the terms of reference. So once the commission is established, then it will have a hearing. And in conducting that hearing, there is a secretariat that will assist the commission. And the public prosecutor will also assist. So there will be effectively an officer from the AG's offices who will turn up and appear at the commission to facilitate the evidence taking. And evidence taking is similar to how it's done in court. Witnesses are sworn in, witnesses can be summoned, they can be subpoenaed. If they don't turn up, they can be cited for contempt. And at the end of it, after having heard all the necessary evidence, the commission would then prepare a report. That report will be submitted to the Agong, and that report will contain its evaluation, its conclusions and its recommendation.
The process sounds similar to a court proceeding. Does this mean an RCI functions in a similar capacity, minus delivering a punishment?
It is not a court, although for purposes of penal law, it's considered to be a judicial proceeding when a commission sits in its inquiry, but it is not a court. What it is, it's an independent means of inquiry, which has its own processes and can take evidence for the purposes of bolstering public confidence in any particular aspect. But ultimately, evidence taken before the RCI would not be binding in civil or criminal proceedings. So the short answer is it's not a court, but it acts like a court. And its objective is to prepare a report which will be submitted to the AGOA, which would then be considered for the purpose of taking further steps, if necessary, by the government.
So after the recommendations are given, is the government bound to act? In fact, to your recollection, have any recommendations from past RCIs not been acted upon?
So that's a good question. So the report will set out what would effectively be an influential analysis of a particular situation. And depending on whether the recommendations are for action to be taken or for further investigations to be taken, then while it's not necessarily binding on any of the agencies involved, the fact that they don't take steps in furtherance of the recommendations may be held against them in public opinion. And that would then feature in how it is that perceptions will be formed about whether the government is acting or not acting and why it's acting or not acting. So one example is the V.K. Lingam Commission, the recording of the lawyer V.K. Lingam. So that commission did recommend certain steps to be taken, and it seems to me that for various reasons, nothing further was done on the recommendations. We've also had, for example, the Zaidin Commission, which was the first commission to deal with police reform. And there were many recommendations there, including the establishment of the IPCMC, which, as we all know to date, has not happened. So it's really a matter of conscience, ultimately, and questions can be asked in Parliament about why it is that, despite the recommendations, no action has been taken. It's a useful tool for marshalling public opinion, and I think that's ultimately its goal and its role. That and also affording an independent means of inquiry, independence being important for ensuring public confidence.
So aside from public opinion, the government really, you know, it doesn't have to act on the recommendations, right?
There would be other agencies or organs involved, for example, the Attorney General's Chambers or even the police. If the recommendations are such that action could be taken by these agencies or these bodies without any further intervention by the government, then one could say that they should be acting on these recommendations. So if one of the recommendations was, for example, to inquire further or to further investigate into, say, a sudden death, for example, like in Teo Beng Hock, then the question would be, did the police do that? And if so, what was the ultimate conclusion arrived at? For example, I can't recall whether the report in Teo Beng Hock did actually make that recommendation, but that's just an example.
Thank you so much for joining us on the line today. That was Dato' Malik Imtiaz breaking down essentially the concept of an RCI and the powers that it has. And really, I think towards the end of that conversation, it was really focusing on the fact that it's about kind of seeing whether it affects public opinion right now. What were some of your takeaways from that very quickly?
Yeah, I think it just lends some credibility, right? Supposedly an independent committee is investigating the issue. And so the recommendations, we are assuming they are fairly independent and done without fear and favor. But the problem is, will they be acted on, right? And some of the examples shared were that there wasn't much action after that. So, we'll have to wait and see how this goes.
Right now, we're going into a few messages and then the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.